Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today is Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. And I want to start by asking you to just take a little mental trip with me.
Okay.
Think back to the early 2020s. Remember when the phrase tokenized real estate would pop up? It sounded like, I don't know, a sci-fi experiment.
Oh, completely. Or a crypto gimmick. You know, it's
Yeah.
all about a luxury villa on the blockchain or some high-tech hotel. Very shiny.
Very shiny. And to be honest, very confusing for most people. It was all about the novelty of it.
Look, we can do.
Exactly. We put a house on the internet. But nobody was really asking what that actually meant for an investor.
Right.
But now, here we are in 2026, and looking at the research we've got today, the whole conversation has changed. It's not about the cool factor anymore. We're talking about fundamentals.
That's the key shift. The question isn't, can we do this anymore? We know we can. The tech works. Now, the real question, the one that matters, is about the investment itself. Is it a good deal?
And that's our mission for this deep dive. We've been through the latest market analysis, especially some of these new frameworks, and we want to answer that central question for you, the investor, today. Does the balance between risk and reward actually make sense?
Because if it doesn't, nothing else matters. The fanciest tech in the world can't save a bad investment.
So before we really get into the weeds of the risk, and we are going to get into the weeds, let's just level set. When we say tokenized real estate right now, in 2026, what are we actually talking about?
Sure. So if you strip away all the jargon, we're talking about an investment structure.
Yeah.
Your share of a property, your economic interest is represented by a digital token.
Okay.
But, and this is the crucial part, that token is legally linked to a real entity, like an LLC, that actually owns the building.
Right. And I think we have to tackle this head on, this idea that tokenization is some kind of magic money machine.
The magic money myth. Yes, let's dismantle that right now.
You sprinkle some blockchain on a building and suddenly it's worth more?
The sources are incredibly clear on this. Tokenization does not create new sources of return. It's not a magical profit generator. It's an efficiency layer.
An efficiency layer, not a value creation layer.
Exactly. It's like putting a new transmission in a car. It might run smoother, but the engine is still the engine.
So, if I own a token for an apartment complex, the money is not coming from the token itself.
No, the token is just the container. It's the wrapper. It changes access. It allows you to buy a smaller piece, maybe for $1,000 instead of $100,000. But the actual money, the return,
It comes from the building,
it comes from the exact same place it does in traditional real estate.
which is where
Yeah.
I think people sometimes forget real estate is a
It
business.
is a business.
Yeah.
And the money comes from two main buckets. First, rental income.
Money from tenants. Simple enough.
Well, simple on the surface, but the reports really stress this. It's net income.
Because buildings cost money to run.
A lot of money. You have maintenance, management fees, insurance, property taxes, reserves for when things break. As a token holder, you get the rent minus the reality.
You're at the bottom of the waterfall.
That's a perfect way to put it. The plumber gets paid. The tax man gets paid, the insurance company gets paid, and then whatever is left at the bottom, that's your yield.
And the second bucket.
Capital appreciation. The property hopefully gaining value over time. The market improves, the managers make smart upgrades, that sort of thing.
Okay, but here's where my crypto brain kicks in. We're used to seeing prices go up and down every second, right? Does tokenized real estate work like that?
No, and that's a huge distinction, a critical one. Unlike a pure crypto coin that trades on hype, the value of your token is tied to updated valuations of the physical building.
So it's slower, more grounded.
Much more grounded. An office building isn't going to double in value overnight because of a tweet. The token's value changes when a professional appraiser walks through with a clipboard, usually quarterly or semi-annually.
So managing your expectations is everything here. If you're looking for a to-the-moon rocket.
You are in the wrong place. Go back to meme coins. The consensus now is that mature platforms focus on realistic return projections. The language has changed. It's all steady rather than explosive.
I like that phrase, steady rather than explosive. Sounds boring, but boring can be good.
Boring is beautiful in investing. And the golden rule is simple. If the underlying building is a bad investment, the token is a bad investment. Tokenization does not fix a crumbling foundation.
That's a fantastic takeaway. The tech doesn't cure a bad asset. Okay, so that's the reward side, but now we have to talk about risk.
We do. And the way the source material phrases it is really smart. It says tokenization doesn't redefine the risk-return equation, it reframes it.
Reframes it. What does that mean in practice?
It means it introduces this structural layer that sits between you and the asset,
Yeah.
And that layer can either make things much clearer or it can make them a complete mess.
Okay, so let's walk through those layers. The analysis points to four key risks. What's number one?
First up, you have asset risk. This is the classic stuff.
The leaky roof risk.
Exactly. The leaky roof, the tenants leaving, a recession hitting the local economy. If the main employer in town closes down, vacancy goes up, and your token's value goes down. The blockchain can't stop that.
Okay, that's fair. That's just real estate 101. What's next?
This is where it gets more specific. Structural risk. This is the legal side. See, your name isn't on the property deed.
Right.
You own a token that represents your rights in a legal entity, usually called a special purpose vehicle or SPV.
So the risk is in the paperwork, the contract.
Precisely. If that legal structure is poorly designed, or your rights as a token holder aren't spelled out clearly, enforcing those rights can be a nightmare. You are totally reliant on that contract holding up.
So in the early days, you might have been buying a token that was legally just a vague promise.
Essentially, an IOU. It might say you have a right to profit, but what does that mean? Who decides? When? If it's not codified, you could own a token that legally amounts to nothing more than a digital receipt.
That is a scary thought. Which leads right into the third one, platform risk.
Right, the middleman risk.
Yeah.
You're buying this through a website, an app, and you have to ask, how does that platform operate? Are the assets segregated?
Meaning, if the company that runs the website goes bankrupt, does my building get sold off to pay their bills?
That is the multi-million dollar question. Mature platforms in 2026 make sure that the building, held in its own SPV, is completely separate from the platform's own finances.
So if the platform goes bust, the investors still own the building.
That's how it should work, but it's a risk. What happens if the website just disappears? How do you vote on decisions? How do you get your reports? It's the risk of your interface vanishing.
And the fourth one. The notes call this the biggest overlooked risk.
Liquidity risk. This is the one that surprises people.
But wait, I thought the whole point of tokens was liquidity. That you could sell instantly.
That was the early pitch, and it was a dangerous misconception. Just because it's a digital token doesn't mean a buyer is waiting for you at 3 a.m.
Right.
Because it's still just a piece of a building.
It's still real estate, and real estate is slow. The blockchain transaction might take seconds, but finding a buyer for your specific share of apartment complex B.
There might only be a handful of people interested.
Yeah, and they might not be online. Or they might want a big discount. This is not the New York Stock Exchange. Mature platforms are honest about this now. They'll tell you this is a medium-term hold. They manage your expectations.
So it really does sound like this all comes down to the art of the trade-off.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. It's about what you give up to get what you want.
Let's talk about that. The first big one is convenience versus control.
Think about it. If you buy a rental property yourself, you have total control. You pick the paint color. You screen the tenants, you decide when to sell.
But you also get the call to fix the toilet at midnight.
You get the call. You have the control, but you have all the headaches. With tokenization, you get the convenience. Low entry cost, no management headaches, easy diversification. But you give up control.
You're a passenger, not the driver.
Exactly. You rely on the platform's governance. You can't just decide to renovate the lobby. You have to vote, and you might be in the minority.
And you have to be honest with yourself. If you're a hands-on person, this might drive you crazy.
It absolutely will. But if you value your time and want the exposure without the work, it's a great deal.
There's another trade-off mentioned in the analysis, tangibility versus speed.
Right. Compared to a pure digital asset, like a cryptocurrency, this has real, tangible backing. It's a physical building. It has intrinsic value.
You can drive past it.
You can drive past it. But it doesn't have that high-speed 2047 price action of the crypto markets. Hmm. It's an interesting hybrid.
It's like it's digital, but it's heavy.
Digital, but heavy. I love that. That's a perfect description. It has inertia.
So who is the successful investor in this space in 2026? It doesn't sound like it's for the day trader or the DIY landlord.
It's for someone in the middle. Someone looking for exposure to real estate over a medium to long-term horizon. They value the access and convenience more than they value direct control.
It seems like the market has just grown up.
It has. It's becoming a serious tool for wealth preservation.
I want to ground this in a specific example. The reports mention Osul Gamma as a model of this mature 2026 approach. What are they doing that shows this shift?
Well, Osul Gamma is a great case study because they seem to prioritize structure over hype. Their whole philosophy is that tokenization is just a tool, a tool for clarity and access. They aren't selling a dream, they're selling a well-oiled machine.
And what about that structural risk we talked about, the legal side?
This is key to their model. They hold properties in very clearly defined legal entities. Their tokens represent what they call documented economic participation.
That sounds very formal and lawyerly.
It is, and in this case, that's exactly what you want. It means the digital token is legally tied to the corporate structure. It bridges that gap between the code on the blockchain and the law in a courtroom.
In transparency, are they showing you the gross rent and hoping you don't notice the expenses?
No, the opposite. They seem to frame expectations around actual property performance. They bake in the operating costs, the reserves, the fees. They show you the number at the bottom of the waterfall, not the fantasy number at the top.
Which is how it should be. And how do they handle that separation, the platform risk?
They are very deliberate about keeping the asset separate. The structure is designed so that the property, in its own legal bottle, is insulated from the company running the website.
So if the platform has a bad year, the building is protected.
That's the entire point of the structure. It builds resilience.
It really feels like we've moved past the Wild West phase. It's not necessarily safer. Real estate is always risky, but it's clearer.
Clearer is exactly the right word. Risk is never gone, but clarity allows you to understand it and price it. You can see the trade-offs and decide if they're worth it for you.
So let's bring this all together. What's the final synthesis?
The synthesis is that tokenized real estate has become boring, and that's a high compliment. The conversation is back where it belongs, on property fundamentals, location, asset quality, tenant demand.
It's not about the blockchain anymore. It's about the building.
100%. And the key for you as an investor isn't to avoid risk. That's impossible. It's to understand where the risk is coming from. Is it the asset, the structure, the platform, or the liquidity?
And once you can pinpoint the risk, you can decide if that potential return is worth it.
It becomes an informed decision, not just a bet.
I want to leave everyone with one final thought to chew on, something from the FAQs and the research that really stuck with me.
The cost of the platform.
Exactly. Since tokenization doesn't magically increase returns, it just improves access, you have to ask yourself a very personal question. Is the cost of giving up control worth the convenience for you?
It's the ultimate question. If you love managing property yourself, maybe it's not. But if you want the exposure without the headaches, that cost of lost control might be the best deal you'll ever make.
It all comes down to knowing what kind of investor you are. A fascinating place to end. The hype is gone and the fundamentals are back.
As they always should be.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you on the next one.